And now, so this time of year, it always draws our thoughts and our minds toward praising God, and that's a good thing. It's a wonderful thing. Why do we praise the Lord? Because we're thankful for all that He has done and all that He is doing presently in our lives. And Thanksgiving is a time when, in our country, when we actually literally stop and give praise and thanks for what God has done. Here's an issue that came to my mind as I was reading a letter from someone. The question was posed, have you ever thought about this issue? The Bible's always telling people to praise God, but it's most often very insecure people who crave attention and are always fishing for compliments. So if God is totally self-sufficient and secure, why does He always need and seem to need people to praise Him? Well, the answer is perfectly clear, because God is uniquely perfect in all that He does and all that He says. He's the only being in the entire universe that is intended to be praised. I got to get this adjusted just right. The last of the Psalms, I was reading some of them today. The last of the Psalms speak very clearly to this issue of praise, worship, and thanksgiving. Psalm 145. Well, let me read this to you. Just a few verses. I will exalt you, my God, my King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Psalm 118, give thanks to the Lord. There's a purpose. You already know this is a Thanksgiving service, so the purpose is for us to really focus on giving thanks and to praise the Lord. But Psalm 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, and His love endures forever. Giving thanks is something that should occur every day. Now, this is where the guilt trip begins, and you're going, oh, no, here we go. He's going to talk about we need to be giving thanks every day. Well, yes, I'm going to talk about that, but I have a story to tell you to prove that we're not capable of doing that. I'll get to that in a minute. Throughout the Bible, we are reminded to give thanks to the Lord. You see, God is good. He is so good, and we should truly have a thankful heart. And the best way to learn about God is to ask questions. Now, the song that you enjoyed just sang tonight, you talked about us meditating, and we were singing along with you, but that really had a lot of deep meaning, and it fits very well to our service this evening, because have you ever given thanks for the difficult days, the days of pain, the days of loss, thanking God for His presence through the time of loss, thanking God for His presence through the time of your pain, thanking God for the fact that you've lost your income and you're without work, but He's there with you. His presence is there with you. God is still there, and through these days, He's teaching, He's encouraging us. Literally, when you really go through the Scriptures, God is urging us to wait. He's urging us to trust. He's urging us to love, to give, to keep going, to not give up. And we're to have a thankful heart for what God has done and what He's presently doing. We get so busy in our routines that we really miss what God is doing in our lives. 1 Chronicles 16:8, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known among the nations what He has done. The psalmist is actually telling us, he's telling us to give thanks. Actually, he's saying it boldly. Boldly call upon God's name. And the word boldly means to bravely, to confidently, to fearlessly give thanks for what God has done. Call upon His name. Unfortunately, you and I don't always have a thankful heart. Nor do we even... Some of us, and I would say a vast majority of Christians, don't fear God. You see, many believers look at God as a divine waiter. Lord, I want this. Lord, I'd like to have that. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. We see God as a divine waiter. In the book of Numbers, God's people, they're in the wilderness. Think about this. You know the story. You've heard it multiple times. They're constantly grumbling against their leader, Moses. And they're constantly grumbling against God instead of trusting him. They had seen awesome wonders. They had experienced his awesome grace. God had sent them manna, bread from heaven. Every day, he provided water from a rock when they were thirsty. They had been miraculously delivered from slavery in Egypt, but they were selfish. They were selfish. Their hearts were hardened, and they turned away from God. And they had taken God's grace and his provision for granted. You see, as soon as something was done for them, they were looking for something else. Does that sound familiar to any? It does to me. It does to me. God has answered my prayer. Thank you, Lord. Okay, I need. And we move right into what we need. But what we really need to do is to keep focus. Their faith and their focus was not always where it should have been. And I practiced this meditation just Thursday night on a group of people that I think they still like me. but it's so easy for us to judge the Israelites. I wouldn't do that. There's no way I would have done that. God has provided. He took me through the, can you imagine walking on dry water, looking at the waves, the waters are on either side of you, watching the Egyptians die as they're pursuing after them, God providing food, and here they are, grumbling. I wouldn't do that. I think we struggle to stay focused on God. I know I do. We're not so much different than the Israelites. You and I, we have received abundant blessings, numerous blessings every day. And one of the things I pointed out to the group that I practiced this meditation on Thursday night was this. Even the air that you're breathing right now is a gift. God has blessed us. But one negative situation, and you know, those things sometimes they sneak up on you. We had one. Sometimes you just have years where everything is expensive. You know what I'm talking about? Well, that's been our year in our household. Well, normally when our family comes to visit us, something breaks in our house. And Cindy said, "Oh, Ken," while we're having our small group this afternoon, "our faucet is broken." "What do you mean our faucet is broken? I hear water running." She goes, "Well, the handle that moves it up and down is broken." "Yes, we have family coming tomorrow night." "Yeah, something's going to break. Something else probably will break." One time we had family in our house. Actually, we had 18 people in our house. And I hear this drip, drip, drip. And in a closet with 18 people showering, you know what happened. Everything just, the pipes broke. We had to put in a new ceiling. And 2 years later, the same thing happened again. So it always happens around family. So, you know, things happen. And you get that punch in the gut. It takes your breath away. And you're wondering, how can I get through this? And we lose our focus. We begin to solve the problem all by ourselves without God. Instead of thanking God for his present blessings, instead of thanking God for his presence with us right now, I was so glad to hear so many of you give thanks and praises tonight, because God is good. And it is hard for us to keep our focus. So instead of praising him for his goodness, we complain. And when we do that, this is something I had to keep in mind just recently, that our trust is broken with God. Colossians 3:17, I read that verse with you this morning. "And whatsoever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him, the God the Father, through him." We set aside one day to give thanks. And you know what? that is good. We gather together with our loved ones. We have a wonderful feast. We give our thanks, our praises. We list our blessings. We're thankful. But I want you to think about this. That's usually where it ends. After the football game and after a snooze and after more turkey and we go to bed, we know what's going to happen. We get up the next day and we slip right back into our routine. It's very easy to start grumbling fault and finding fault about the political venue that we live in today. That is really ripe. That's really good. The long lines in the store, the reckless driver, the nosy neighbor, the rude bank teller, the snowblower that doesn't work when it's supposed to. My concern is, and my prayer is, that we need to remain in an attitude of thankfulness. Now, how about trying this for a whole year? Now, I already told you that I don't think we're going to do it. I don't think you're going to make it. I want to tell you about a story about a man who didn't make it one full day. Actually, I made it one full day. I'm the man. The snowblower decided in the middle of my parking lot, which is our driveway, decided to break. It was an easy fix, but I got angry. And I just told the group that I had practiced this meditation on Thursday night, I was going to start with the simple things. And I was going to start being thankful. And I was going to give thanks. And I was not going to grumble and get angry with the rude, stupid driver in front of me. But what did I do the very next day? One day later. Yeah, I lost it. Boy, was I mad at that snowblower. It couldn't do a thing to me. But I was mad. And my wife knew it. In fact, she said, I'm going to go to school. I'm late already. But my point is, a year, well, I know we're not going to make it. Frankly, we won't. But let's do this. Let's try going a day thinking, thanking, and praising God. Then try 2 days, and then three. And then I'm sure something's going to punch you in the stomach. Something's going to take your breath away. Try one day and try two, maybe four. Well, we have a moral responsibility, to honor and praise God. That praise and thanksgiving is to be part of our spiritual worship. Romans chapter 12. Let's see. Verses 1 and 2. I'm reading this from the NIV because that's what I have in front of me right now. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able... Boy, we miss this part. At least I miss it often. To test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So, how many of you remember this song? It goes back into probably the late 1980s or the early 90s. I know you've heard it. It's, what's it called? Thank God for the valleys. I thank God for the mountains, for the valleys. You see, if we didn't know what a valley was like, we'd never really, totally, really, completely appreciate the mountaintop. So God can solve our problems. He can do it. So my point was reading this verse in Romans 12 is to make sure, write it down, write these two verses down. This is part of your spiritual worship. Put them in a place where you can see them and so that you can see that God is able and that he really wants to do great things in our lives and he has expectations of us. Now, the question I want to ask you is what are you going to be thankful for? Not just today, but I hope you remember part of this message and perhaps this part when you get up tomorrow morning. Could you offer thanks to God? What will you be thankful for to God tomorrow morning? You see, we need to be thankful for the small things as well as the big things. Why is Thanksgiving so important? Not the meal. Why is Thanksgiving, praise and Thanksgiving, so important? Because it acknowledges God in the situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. James tells us to be slow, be quick to listen and slow to speak, and praise God always. God can do anything, anything with a thankful heart. And I want you to listen very carefully here. But a complaining heart is closed to God's grace. Max Lucado said this. He said, focus less on what a grateful heart sees each day as a gift. Thankful people focus less on what they lack and more on the privileges they have. A grateful heart is like a magnet collecting reasons for gratitude. I probably have used this illustration before. It's a cartoon I cut out of the newspaper in 1994. It's up on our refrigerator. And the little girl is speaking to her younger brother, and he's sitting down. She's sitting on a little stool. And she says, yesterday is the past. Tomorrow is the future. But today is a gift. That's why they call it the present. Each day is a gift. Each day is a gift. Let's make the best of it, praising and thanking God.